high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is the Miller's Edge with Christian Miller, two-time national champion and team captain for the Alabama Crimson Tide and former Carolina Panther, and his father, Corey Miller, the pastor of pain, a 9-year NFL veteran with the New York Giants and University of South Carolina Hall of Famer. This is the Miller's Edge.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope everybody's doing great. Hope you guys are having a great start to your day. Looking forward to hopping on here and having yet another fun show here. Had a lot of traffic yesterday, Chase. Had a lot of phone calls that we took, and hopefully we'll do it again. 205-342-9904 is the number. From where we left off yesterday, we talked a lot about Ty Simpson. Got to hear some interview stuff, and definitely really liked what I heard from the interview. Not that we're great in interviews now, but just thought it was nice to finally get to hear from. You know, they've kept the quarterbacks protected recently, right? They haven't had them available to the media, so we got to hear from him, and he said a lot of good things, had a lot of good things to say. Had me motivated, had a lot of people fired up, so I'm sure you guys felt the same way. But towards the end of the show, we started to turn our focus on the defense because they spoke to the media post-practice yesterday. And so that's where we'll pick up today. We will start off with some defensive interviews from yesterday. You got Kane Womack. We got to listen to that. We didn't get a chance to hear it because we ended up choosing to listen to the few minutes that we had to listen to Ryan Grubb. So we'll listen to Kane Womack. We'll probably hear from Deontay Lawson, a little bit of Tim Keenan as well. You know, I'm not too sure what the lineup is for post-practice today in terms of media availability, but we'll keep an eye on that. But we'll obviously keep you guys up to date with all of that stuff because it's always good to hear from the source themselves, right? You know, obviously they're fresh off the practice field. No better way to get up to date than hear from themselves. So we'll definitely dive into that. Plus, Chase, man, not to revisit this conversation because I know a lot of people are just like, oh, man, we want to move on. But I do have to say, man, look, I got to own up and I got to issue an apology, man. So remember the clip that QD had tagged us in, and that guy was talking about the whole, you know, if you go back to last season, if Ty Simpson, you know, performs, you know, say he has some astronomical numbers this year, do you go back and say, oh man, you know, put some blame on Kalen DeBoer for not playing him last year? You guys know the clip. We're not going to dive too much into it. But I ended up seeing, like, I didn't get to finish it, but I ended up seeing, like, the whole context, right? Because remember, that was like a 3-minute clip that was just on Twitter. And I'll say this, but I owe that guy an apology. All right, so that guy in that clip, believe it or not, Chase, I listened to, like, the whole video, and that clip was, like the second part of what he said. And ironically, the first part of it, so let me go back. So there's two people in the video. Number one is the other guy that asked that question. The other guy's one that brought that point up, right? So I guess I was shooting at the wrong guy. It should have been the other guy who brought up the question because then he was the one pushing all that. But this guy, the guy that we actually heard from yesterday that I was a little tough on, he actually started off with his response and he literally was saying what we were basically saying, going back and saying, like, you know, that was last year, you know, that doesn't mean where he's at this year is where he's at last year. All the logical stuff here, right, Chase, that we talked about. He actually prefaced with that and made a number of good points. So I don't know if it was himself that posted that part of the clip or the other guy posted that part of the clip, because if I had to guess, it probably was the guy that asked the question who clipped it or pushed it out there of him saying it, because he actually was saying quite the opposite. He actually was saying, you know, I don't think there's really a comparison there. Basically all the things that we were saying, ironically. So I do want to own up to that, because when I went back and I don't even know how, I think I saw, like, on YouTube and I was like, wait, here's the video from what we saw yesterday. And I was watching it. I think I got, like, not even halfway through until I realized I got to that point from the context of the clip. And I was listening. I was like, oh, damn. So we kind of went hard at him. Well, I was kind of going hard on him but not realizing that it was, I wouldn't necessarily say taken out of context because he said what he said, but that was kind of like the back end of it, kind of looping back into like, I see why the other guy would say that type deal. Does that make sense, Chase? Like the guy kind of presented that to him. He answered the question. So obviously when he finished it, he's like, oh yeah, you know, so I could understand why, whatever. And I was like, oh, well, whoops. All right. But you know what? You gotta be accountable, right? You gotta hold yourself accountable. And I was like, you know what? That's why you gotta be careful when you look at clips out of context. So my bad, man. I'll be honest. I don't know the guy's name, but he wasn't as out there with his answers I initially thought after hearing the whole thing. So anyway, there's that. A couple other things that might dive into. We have time. I don't know if you saw this, Chase, but Mark Ingram actually visited a practice recently, spoke to the team, had a message for those guys. The cool thing was after that, or it could have been before, I'm not sure when they recorded it, but he actually joined Ryan Williams and company on their podcast, New Wave Podcast, and might dive into a couple of things from there because obviously it's always cool hearing, you know, former guys chop it up with current guys, always some good knowledge being thrown around and a lot of entertainment. So maybe we'll pick apart that video a little bit and hear from the former Heisman Trophy winner, Mark Ingram, alongside Ryan Williams and company. So a couple other things we might dive into. We have a little bit of time, but that's kind of what I've got planned so far. If you guys have anything, you guys already know the drill. 205-342-9904. We'd love to hear from you guys on the phone lines. If you can't hop on the phone lines, no worries. No big deal. You can always drop your questions in the app inbox, which we have on the Tide 100.9 app. Don't forget to download that if you haven't already. Or if you guys are on the YouTube stream, when we're streaming live, you can watch me do the show. You can always drop your questions there or on Facebook. We also stream on the Tide 100.9 page. Per usual, got to remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Try it before you buy it, nothing to lose. Make sure you guys check them out. If you're dealing with any type of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, they will take care of it. Clinically proven to do so in just 4 short weeks. Midtown Village, where you find them here in Tuscaloosa, they are nationwide. So just type in your zip code and it will pull up all the locations nearest to you. So make sure you guys take advantage of the Good Feet Store, man. These things are game changers. Just put them in your shoes. They get to work, man. They help alleviate and eliminate all that pain. Plus, man, we've got some stuff in the works for you guys. Quick, I guess, little hint, man. We're probably going to be doing some giveaway stuff in partnership with the Good Feet Store. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that because we're always looking for ways to try to, you know, just compensate our listeners, man. Reward you guys for supporting the show. So got some stuff in the works with them. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we dive into some of these interviews. We'll break them down. We'll talk about it. Talk with you guys. Well, all that coming up right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTB.
Through the noise, visit igniteinhome.com. That's igniteinhome.com. And let's fuel the trades.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide
100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Chase, you also forgot to mention this in that first segment. You had Hey Coach last night, which Super Joe mentioned he was stopping by there. But biggest thing was Greg Byrne was up there. He joined Chris Stewart. They talked a good bit. And there might be a couple of things we pull from that because I felt like he said a number of things. Now, like I thought, I do not believe Kalen DeBoer was there. You know what I mean? Like, I know Super Joe was thinking that he was going to be there. If I'm getting my times right or schedules right, I'm pretty sure the way it works is he normally joins like around like the first week or something like that. But you did have Greg Byrne there. You had volleyball coach Rashinda Reed, really sweet. I met her when she first got here. And maybe Corey Reamer was a part of it too. But anyway, so Hey Coaches last night, there's a number of things that Greg Byrne said that we might dive into. I know we don't talk a whole bunch about basketball. Would probably get a little bit more into it down the road, but a kind of mention like some updates with the training facility and all that stuff, if you guys are interested in hearing about that or talking about that. But yeah, he also discussed the bigger thing, or at least for me, not bigger thing, but the thing that I really took notice was when he was talking about the scholarship numbers and the limit imposed on football by the SEC and comparing that to other places. I thought that was interesting, kind of hearing him talk about that. But anyway, that took place yesterday. So maybe if we have time, there's so many things in so many directions we can go. So we'll kind of figure out where, you know, where things line up. I don't know how much time we'll have for what, but I do know I definitely want to start with Kane Waumann because I want to dive into some defensive talk. We've been talking so much about the offense, which is great. I like talking about football in general, but defense spoke yesterday. I want to hear from Kane Waumann. So let's go ahead and actually timeout. Audible. Let me check the play, Chase. I'm walking up to the line of scrimmage. I'm calling an audible. I just realized that we have Mike, our buddy Mike from New York, on the phone lines. And I'm not going to make him wait, man. That's our guy. And I told you guys, new rule is when you have phone calls, we're going to go to them. That way you guys don't have to sit there and wait. So let's do that. 205-342-9904. We got Mike up first. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, good afternoon. How's everybody?
Oh, man, I think we're doing all right over here. Mike, how are you?
Well, good. Doing good. Thanks. Hey, not to change things up a little bit. I want to hear what Coach Womack has to say, too. Have you heard anything about what possibly is going to happen to Michigan's program tomorrow? I mean, this is kind of like hush hush, and nobody's really talking about it. But you think they're going to get smacked, or have you heard anything?
Mike, I'll be honest with you, man. I don't know a whole bunch about it. I'll be honest, I haven't heard much. I haven't even heard many people talking about it. But you're right. Tomorrow, the investigation's findings and punishments will be released. And I guess we'll be waiting to kind of hear what that is. To be honest with you, though, I don't really know what direction they're going to go. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's going to be like something crazy strong. I feel like they've been looking into this for quite some time, and I don't know. I mean, didn't they win like the national championship like right after they already were looking into some of this stuff? So, and I don't think anything crazy came from it. So I don't think it'll be anything wild or unexpected, but I could be wrong, but I'll definitely be on the lookout for it tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they've done some like self-imposed things too, which probably soften things up tomorrow as well. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's kind of interesting how quiet it is. And then secondly, I know like you've been going to practice and talking about like the tight end room as room for improvement. And I know these guys like to use the tight ends in the offense. So is it more skill? Is it more blocking? Is it a combination? Like what do you feel they need more work on?
Well, I just think, I mean, they just don't really have much experience there. I mean, if you look at the room, Mike, I mean, you got Quavis, who comes back with the most experience, and last year was his first year really getting a number of snaps. I mean, before when he transferred from Washington, I mean, he played in like, I don't know if it was trash minutes or, I mean, it was very limited, right? So he's like your most experienced guy who at least knows the system well. And then behind him, I mean, you got Danny Lewis who came back. He's been kind of battling, you know, injuries over the last year or so. And then outside of that, I mean, really, they bring in what, two guys from the transfer portal, but they're relatively new, and I don't know how much they really did at their former places. You got a young guy, and you know, I mean, Marshall Pritchett, who's coming off injury, but a lot of people are excited about him. And you know, Caleb, the freshman. I mean, I remember just, you know, when I saw him for the first time when he first got here this summer. Now, he's physically impressive, and I think honestly, he's been doing some good stuff this training camp. I think it's more so, Mike, just a number of question marks because there's not many receipts from that room, you know what I mean? And then you're replacing both the guys from last year, and both Robbie Oots and C.J. Dupree, even though, you know, Quavis was kind of like that third guy in there. Outside of him, like, just not many of those guys have, you know, real experience. So that's really what it is, Mike. It's not like anything in particular. I mean, I do look at that room, and I do feel like they're more of a, you know, inline type of, you know, room. I mean, I'm sure that those guys do have, like, Caleb, right? I mean, he's got athleticism. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like they have, like, a guy that's, like, a, you know, a true pass-catching tight end. I think, really, most of them are just inline tight ends, and some just have better skill sets in terms of the passing game than others. But I think they'll be fine. You know, I'm not saying it's like the biggest issue. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. They do like to utilize tight ends, but kind of like I was saying the other day, I mean, I think at Washington, one of the most utilized guys they had was a former walk-on. So I don't think you need, you know, some superstar pass catching tight end for this system to be effective. And I think they have a number of options. It's just getting those guys up to speed as soon as possible and getting them as many reps as possible. But I think they'll end up being okay, Mike. I think they will. I think it's just right now there's question marks. But hey, look at it. You know, last year the secondary had big question marks. You knew you had talent in there. They ended up playing really well. Then obviously going into the following year, they're set up really nicely. So I think the tight end room could be kind of similar to that. Now, I'm not saying that means we're going to have like the number one tight end room next year, but you get what I'm saying. They'll come back even more experienced, and it goes from a big question mark to you actually feel really good about that room because there's a lot of potential in there.
Yeah, they got some tall dudes in there too, 6'5" and 6'6". Some of these guys and the ones they recruited, great height with these guys. But last thing I got, hey, I know we're talking about Mark Ingram dropped by practice the other day. How does that work when like players stop by? Does the coach carve out time for them? Do they have full access during practice? They get time before practice, after practice. How does that work when guys stop in?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, and speaking of tight ends and former guys, I was up there last week, and I don't know if you guys remember this guy, but big Brian Vogler, who played tight end here, he was with me my first year, so he must have gotten here, 2010 maybe, 2011. But anyway, big Vogue was up here, and he had a brief coaching stint, maybe with Georgia or something else, but I'm not too sure. He was on the run. When I saw him, he was having to get out. He was hitting the road. He had to go out of town. But anyway, long story short, normally the way it works is, I mean, guys can just contact, you know, somebody from, you know, the building and just kind of say, hey, you know, I'll be in town. I'd love to attend practice. And they set it up, give them a, you know, pass to come out there and all that good stuff. But I will say Coach DeBoer is very, he's very big on, you know, former players and their presence and making sure they feel welcome to come back. I mean, whether it's, And the cool thing is not just like, oh, from the past, you know, decade or so, you know, Coach Saban, like he wants to include all the former players. Like that was one. The matter of fact, we actually talked to him about this. One of the things that they're doing, like in the building, when we were, you know, walking around the building, he was showing me all the new stuff that they're adding. As he mentioned that, you know, one thing that they want to do is also incorporate, you know, even going back to, you know, some like Bear Bryant type stuff, or just really going all the way back. That way, some of those older guys also feel included, which I thought that was very, very cool. You know what I mean? Because, you know, with Coach Saban and everything that, you know, he accomplished here in the last, you know, two decades, obviously that, you know, kind of takes precedent over so many things. But I could totally see how, you know, you could maybe think some of the older guys might feel a little forgotten because they're just so much focused on what Coach Saban did. But I think it's really cool that Coach DeBoer wanted to really include everybody, which is awesome. But long story short, yeah, so typically they just reach out and set it up. But, yeah, I mean, Coach DeBoer is really open to like, really any former player coming back and watching. But in terms of, like, guys speaking and stuff, normally, you know, if it's somebody like Mark Ingram, Marlon Humphrey, those guys, hell, he asked me if I wanted to speak, or even Byron Young. We were up there when he first got here last year. He's just always welcome to let former guys come back and just kind of talk to the guys. You know, he's big on that kind of stuff. But, for me, man, since I'm here so much and since I also do stuff with, you know, Crimson Tide Sports Network, I got the codes and stuff, and it's kind of really easy for me just to walk on in, walk on out. But normally the process is they just reach out, get permission, get a pass, and they just go check out practice. But, yeah, no, but Coach DeBoer actually really enjoys when former guys comes back. He welcomes all former guys, which is really nice.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, my man. Well, I appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. I'm going to sit back and enjoy the rest of the program. All right. Good deal, Mike. Appreciate you calling, brother. Good stuff. All right. That's Mike from New York, man. Way up there in New York. Let's hit another timeout. We come back. I don't think we have a phone call lined up, so we'll go to the interview that we had from Kane Wallman. We'll listen to what he had to say following practice yesterday. We'll break it down, discuss a little bit of defense right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department
for his clients. Remember, M for money and Mesrano.
If it has a logo on it, call me, 205-800-8000.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and get to our video from Kane Womack from yesterday, man. Talk a little bit of defense. Let's go ahead and pull that up for you. Here's Alabama defensive coordinator Kane Womack speaking to the media following practice yesterday.
By the way, recovery-wise?
He's actually doing a great job. Deontay is... it's amazing. I mean, I thought, he carried himself at such a professional level a year ago. His leadership was so impressive. And somehow he's taken his game and leadership to another level, which is really impressive coming off of not only battling, the recovery process that he's kind of stayed ahead of every marker that we've had for him. But to be able to come out in fall camp, and we thought, maybe we would limit some of his loads and all that. We've really pushed him, and he's handled it really well.
Kane, do you count interceptions the same way Coach Grubb does? Only four.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't know what the exact number is out there, but I think our offense is doing a fantastic job of taking care of the football. It was an emphasis coming out of last season that we had to do a better job as a team taking care of the football and creating takeaways. Certainly, we were able to do that a year ago. They're making it more difficult on us. When the bullets are flying and it's live and you can affect a quarterback, that's always the indication of how we how we'll do. So I feel good about where we are defensively there.
Coach Boyle on Saturday talked about early run fits maybe being a little bit of an issue. How do you see the defensive run fits?
I think overall have been really, really solid, really positive. And I think the different variations of run game that we're going to see throughout the season, I think we have spent an obscene amount of time, right, making sure that, you know, different variations of run game that we're ready for and geared up for, that we have answers, right, to those things as well. But in the scrimmage at the beginning there, we had a couple, we had a misfit that turned into two missed tackles, which is uncharacteristic of us. And we were fortunate enough to be able to get a stop there in the goal line, which is great, but never really should have happened in the first place, right? If we're operating, you know, efficiently in the run game. And so those are things that we've just got to continue to harp on and work. And that same call that we have ran this week, our guys have done a really nice job on it. So that's what you want to see.
How would you evaluate the competition at Wolf in that way?
I think it's a group of guys that they're all competing against each other, but they also have a great camaraderie. I think C-Rob does a really good job with that room, kind of a, you know, three or four musketeers, right? You know, all for one kind of deal, one for all. They do a really good job of supporting each other. You know, those guys, you can rotate them in. I think they're all improving in the pass game from a standpoint of generating some pass rush, but excited about those guys taking the next step in that regard, and that's going to be critical to us being able to affect the quarterback more consistently than we did a year ago.
Taking a shot in the dark, is there anybody who's changed your perception of them since camp started?
I think off the top of my head, Deshaun Jones was a little bit banged up in the springtime. He's taken some great strides. Jordan Renaud just continues to grow and improve. So really, really pleased with him. And then some of those young defensive linemen are really taking steps in the right direction. Both Freddie Roach and Jamie Mosley, those guys have done a good job. I mean, Asai Faga is doing a really good job. You're seeing some things from London Simmons is improving. Steve is improving. So it's nice to see some guys that, you know, maybe you thought might be a little ways away that might have a role for us at some point, you know, here during the season. So that's encouraging.
I know it's not something that you probably watch closely all the time, but what have you seen out of Tyson?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think as a defensive coordinator, right, your job is to kind of be an expert, right, on offenses and what we're doing and how they're attacking us. And like Ty just does such a great job of his command of the offense right now. He understands what Ryan and what Nick are trying to get done out of the quarterback position and what we're trying to do offensively. He gets us into the right calls. He keeps us out of bad calls for the most part, and then does a really nice job of just taking care of the football. And the dude makes plays. So, I mean, you know, take care of the football, make good decisions, make plays when it matters. That's, to me, the element of a quarterback. But when I watch him go through progressions, I mean, he has a great feel for boom, 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 and he stays on schedule, and that's always, you know, gonna make you efficient offensively.
Is it pretty clear that, you know, he's been around a while, like, that he knows this team, knows the offense?
I would think him, you know, there are probably a number of guys on our football team. You can see the value of them in year two, right? So offensively, defensively, certainly at the quarterback position, how comfortable they are in the system. You know, you see a difference, you know, from where we were a year ago.
Speaking of differences, how different is Xavier Brown going into year two?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, ZB was a guy that came in as a freshman and he made certain freshman mistakes, but he handled them like a veteran, right? And so it was really impressive to see the way that he would make a mistake and then get it fixed and you wouldn't see that mistake, right? He was able to sustain the correction, as we talk about on defense. This year, he's now playing with anticipation, you know, so he's making plays on the ball. He understands, you know, route progressions. He understands how to take certain things away and then go drive the ball in other places. You know, that he is he's probably one of the most fun people I've ever coached. I mean, from a standpoint of just how locked in, how detailed, how professionally he is every day. I mean, that dude in my mind, will play this game for a long time.
Speaking of Ty Simpson, your first job as UT Martin, quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
I think you would have been in elementary school around then. What do you remember? Was he around at all? Like, what stands out?
I mean, I remember at 5 years old, I said, this dude will be the starting quarterback at one point. You know, that was a real fun experience for me. I got my first two years, I was an offensive line GA for Chris Kapelovic, and then went as a quarterback's coach for Jason Simpson. And really, I was more like the assistant quarterback coach because Jason ran the quarterback room and was the offensive coordinator as the head coach. And so I learned so much from him. And then, you know, Ty just always had the ball in his hand, right? Was always around the team. Jason did a great job of involving his family around. The year I was there, Graham, their youngest, who's named after Graham Stadium there, was born. And so Jason and Julie were really good to Melissa and I.
What do you see in the other Camp Calhoun? Where do you see him kind of fitting in through fall?
Yeah, well, Cam's got a really versatile skill set. So, I mean, you know, he's doing some things corner-wise for us. He's doing some things at the Husky nickel position. You know, Cam's got, I think I mentioned this before, you know, he plays the game with great energy. You know what I mean? You got to have guys like that. We're relatively quiet in the secondary for the most part, but I think there's a number of guys, or at least a year ago we were. I think there's a number of guys that, you know, they bring a little bit of swagger, and sometimes you need that, which is really good. And he's certainly one that I can point to that brings juice and energy every day.
When you think about this time a year ago, where do you feel like you've grown the most as a defensive coordinator, and where is that confidence now?
Yeah. Well, I understand our players much better, and I understand the league a lot better, right? I think probably the biggest thing is you go into the off season knowing the answers, not the answers to the test, right? But you at least had the study guide, you know what I mean, a little bit better than you did in year one. And so having anticipation for what we're going to see, having an understanding of what our players do well and how to feature those players has allowed me to be really aggressive in our install in year two. So spring ball, we were like that. And then certainly in fall camp, I mean, we have just layered on layered, you know, the scheme for them, and they're doing a good job of handling it.
What do you see in the three young inside linebackers, Luke, Duke, and Abdul?
Yeah, swimming, struggling. I mean, in a good way. I mean, if you're going to do this at a high level from a linebacker standpoint, you have to embrace the hard times, right? There's just so much we ask those guys to do in terms of running the defense. And so they have to kind of go and press through these things, and it's going to be two steps forward, one step back, and then it's going to be one step forward and two steps back for a little while. I told those guys this morning, they just have to keep pushing. And the guys that I think, you know, I've seen a lot of linebackers go through and then play at a very high level, the ones that just know they're going to play each snap like it's the most important play and just focus on each snap. You do it over and over again, and all of a sudden it just clicks. But it hadn't clicked yet, so they're grinding right now.
Duke was had a lot of responsibilities at the high school level, both on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you see him kind of, you know, when you're kind of focusing in on what he needs to do for your defense? Like, is he kind of adapting to that well? Like, how is he kind of, instead of a lot of responsibility, kind of honing in on one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, those guys have a lot of responsibility within the defense. But at the same time, positionally, you know, he's very inexperienced as a linebacker, right? So there's a transition that takes. You know, we had a guy at Indiana, Cam Jones, playing for the Chiefs right now. You know, Cam came in, didn't really have any experience as a linebacker, and that was a process. And then he turned himself into, you know, an all-conference player, and then got drafted and so on and so forth, right? So that process of taking an athlete and developing them into a linebacker is something that we've always taken pride in our system, of being able to evaluate guys and then project and then develop them. But it most certainly is a process that he's going through.
As we move towards having, I guess, harder roster limits in college football, do guys like that, like who did a bunch of stuff in high school, played multiple positions, does that become more of a plus when you're recruiting?
You're saying just from a roster, like you're saying because there's fewer guys on the roster and all that? Position versatility is critical, and it always has been. But I would say, you know, when the numbers go down, right, those things are always going to matter. You know, you look at the NFL, you know, those guys that are the twos or one and a halves or whatever you want to say, right, their ability to play multiple positions is critical as well. We believe in putting athletes on the field, right? So athletic people that can make plays in space can do multiple things for you. And so we're going to recruit to that. You know, if there's been an indicator of like what we do right now from a long people, right, that can make space tackles, though, that is the, you know, the mold of what we're looking for in the recruiting area. And I think we're doing that right now at I would argue, a pretty high level.
So, all right, thanks
guys. Thank Roll Tide. Appreciate
it. Who's coming in the driveway?
All right. So sorry. It was an ad that just started playing. That wasn't my child. that was Alabama defensive coordinator Kane Womack, who spoke to the media yesterday, and a number of things to take away from that. But before we dive into our responses, our reactions, I do want to hit this quick timeout. That way we have plenty of time to do so. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to respond to it. And I want to hear from you guys, too. What did you pull from Kane Womack? He said a number of things, most notably, I think, I'll dive in this when we come back, what he learned from last year and some of those things he's going to use moving into this season in order to, you know, be a better coordinator, have a better defense and all that stuff. So we'll talk about that, break that down. But again, go ahead and start dropping y'all's responses and reactions in the chat. And we'll discuss it when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
.365 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't
sign up for a Lenovo Education account. Free shipping, easy returns, flexible financing. That's Lenovo.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
and welcome back into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, we just heard from Kane Womack, Alabama defensive coordinator, and he spoke to the media and had a number of things to say. Going back on what he said, sorry, you see Tim Keenan on the screen. We'll probably hear that in a little bit. But I think what stood out to me is the question they asked him about, you know, kind of, you know, last season, how that, you know, translates, you know, moving forward, things he might have learned. And this is a quote from it, because I don't want to paraphrase everything he said. He said a number of things, but in terms of how he grew as a defensive coordinator, that was the question. So he says, I understand our players much better and I understand the league a lot better. I think probably the biggest thing is you go into the offseason knowing that answers, not the answer to the test, right, but you at least have a study guide, you know, a little bit better than you did in year one. So having anticipation for what we're going to see, having an understanding of what our players do well and how to feature those players has allowed me to be really aggressive in our install in year two. So spring ball, we were like that. And then certainly in fall camp, we've just layered on layered on layered the scheme for them, and they're doing a good job of handling it. Really good to hear. And it's, you know, pretty obvious that that's going to be the case. I mean, first year, never coached in the SEC, never coached these players. There's a learning curve for those coaches. And that's why it's so important. You got to give these guys grace, right? I mean, just imagine just taking over a program. Yeah, you might have good players, but, like, you're figuring everybody out. You've never worked with them before. And it was really quick how everything happened. So going into year two, man, it makes total sense. He understands his personnel much better. And even from, like, a play-calling standpoint and just, you know, just a being a prepared standpoint, right? He knows, right? He's played against, or at least coached against LSU now. He's coached against Auburn. He's coached against Georgia. He has a better understanding of what to expect. So I'm expecting good things from him. Plus, in terms of, you know, him talking about the install, and one thing, you know, with the defense last year, we did see it kind of gradually evolve over the year. A lot more man coverage, a couple of different things that they, you know, didn't initially really do or weren't expected to do, but started doing throughout the course of the season. That's one of the reasons, if you go back to last week when I was talking about them being much more aggressive this year, this is part of the reason why. It's kind of why I was saying that, because now, you know, they got their base defense stuff and they've gotten stuff from last year, but now he knows his guys. He knows, you know, which guys that he has, you know, that are good blitzers, right? Or which guys that he can throw in there and put in different spots and handle different roles. And it allows you to be more aggressive. You don't have to play things as safe. You know, I thought he was a little aggressive at times last year, but I think we're going to see things look even more different this season. So I'm excited to see kind of how things continue to unravel, because obviously, even though he's had all fall camp to really, you know, assess things and implement new things, I mean, it's going to continue to evolve just like it did last year. That's just how football works. And I'm really curious to see how that all plays out. I know Bama 205's experience is the best teacher. SEC ball, let's go coaches. Absolutely. You know, and I think it works for both sides of the football. I think the offensive side of the football is going to benefit in the same way. And I think that's why, I mean, in my opinion, I'm like, this Alabama can really only go up. I mean, I think anything can happen, obviously. We know that. But it's like, when you look at all the factors, it's like, you can only really go up from where we were. And really, one little step up from last year, you should just be in the playoffs. So to me, I'm like, it's almost like, I don't even see us not making the playoffs, but let me just, you know, just let things play out. It's like I was talking about. Marcus says, what sticks out to me is that, is it Faga or Faga? Maybe, is it Faga? I can't remember, but you typed Faga. I feel bad if I'm getting his name wrong. I'm terrible with names. Starting to get mentioned more and more. That's a good point, because I'll be honest with you, man. I think he was a kid out of Birmingham, maybe like a three-star when he was coming out of high school. Again, stars don't matter, but I don't think he got like the most attention out of high school. But I will say, like, when I've been up there watching him work in drills and stuff, he's, you know, he looks like he's coming along nicely, man. You know, I think he's still, you know, developing and whatnot, but I think he's really kind of been developing a nice pace. And to hear the coaches really talk about him, obviously that's always a good sign. He's definitely catching their attention. But from what I've seen out of him, he looks like he's going to end up being a good player down the road. And I think he also mentioned, is it Simmons? Young guy from Mississippi, which I think they've been pleased with his development. But if they, you know, just like the other guys he mentioned, like the inside linebackers, man, I mean, they're swimming, trying to, you know, figure everything out, a lot being thrown at them. But I think once they start figuring it out, things start slowing down for them, they're really going to be able to get better and better. And maybe at some point, again, I don't know if it's in the near future, maybe a year or so down the road, but start being able to contribute a little bit more. LK says, I think he believes this year's defense will be more dialed into the system. In my opinion, with 8 returning starters and the number of others with experience, this year's defense can be a top 5 at year's end. Yeah, the number of starters coming back is a big deal. And then, like you mentioned, people being more dialed in. I mean, look, just to revisit this real quick, I mean, and this was true. People didn't really want to hear this last year, but this is just a fact, man. Like, some of those older guys that were coming from Coach Saban's system, it was a little hard for them to really completely buy into a whole new system, especially if maybe they weren't really sold on everything. And I think you saw that at times, right? I'm not going to mention any specific examples, but I'm just being completely honest, which I'm not even really blaming the players on that, because it's an adjustment, man. When you go from the GOAT, right, who's known as the best coach of all time, and he's literally a defensive coach, I mean, like, if someone's trying to sell you something different, it's got to make sense. You know what I mean? And if, you know, maybe it's not really kind of lining up and you're just not all the way in there, there might be a little bit of hesitancy. But I think going into year two, these guys are a lot more bought in, right? We've heard it from the players themselves. And I think that definitely will translate as well. We got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling. 205-342-9904 is the number. I think we're open on the phone lines if you guys want to hop on there. We've got a couple more interviews to get to. We'll listen to, we'll dive into all that stuff right here on the other side of this break, right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Peace Store, America's Tide Support Experts. Quick time out. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohengrin.
A federal appeals court ruled today that Minnesota Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores' racial discrimination lawsuit against the NFL and 3 of its teams cannot be settled in arbitration and instead can go to trial. It's the second major defeat for the NFL in court this week, as earlier the Nevada Supreme Court made a similar ruling regarding John Gruden's lawsuit against the NFL. Kansas City Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice has a disciplinary hearing scheduled for September 30th, meaning Rice would remain eligible to play in the Chiefs' first 4 games of the season, barring the reaching of a disciplinary settlement beforehand. In July, Rice was sentenced to 30 days in jail and 5 years probation for his involvement in a multi-car crash in Dallas in 2024. And today's Major League Baseball action gets underway at the top of the hour as the Baltimore Orioles host the Seattle Mariners.
365, 24. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's Move Over Law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
We are here,
treating patients from every generation,
across the United States,
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers,
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors,
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Hour number two officially underway right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts, man. Football is here. Obviously, the season's coming up, man. Don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars. If you guys are looking for the best cigars, best humidor in the Southeast, you got to check them out right there, 2703 Gary Fifth Street here in Tuscaloosa. You don't want to miss out. Football season coming up, man, and they always have the games on, TVs all around, wraparound porch. You can't beat it. Over 160 bourbons to choose from. And it's always fun just to go hang out, have a good time, man. A whole bunch of football fans up there kicking it, talking sports, enjoying a nice stick and a nice drink. Again, drink responsibly, but they've got it all there for you. So make sure you check them out. Plus, check out their website, rnrcigars.com, where you can use that code Miller's Edge. Again, code Miller's Edge gets you 20% off all your orders. So make sure you guys take advantage of that. Anytime you need your cigars, man, hit them up. Go to their website, Miller's Edge, 20% off your orders. And they'll ship it right there to you, man. Whether it's for you, a gift, you name it, man. Make sure you guys take advantage again. That is R&R Cigars, who has a big announcement that we'll be announcing here on the show here soon once everything is finalized. And we'll make sure we get that to you as soon as that is done. All right. So we heard from Kane Womack, discussed that. We got this already pulled up, man. Let's go ahead and listen to it. Let's hear from Deontay Lawson. This is from yesterday, him speaking after practice. Let's see what he had to say. Again, a lot of people are really curious on where he's at. You know, again, coming off that big knee injury last year, this is your signal caller of the defense, right? You know, he's going to be an integral piece of this defense. So let's get an update from him on where he stands through fall camp so far.
Guys, again, really not thinking too much of how I feel. Just being able to do it is make me feel good. So that's all I'm worried about.
You're smiling as you say that. Do you feel a little bit of relief that you're back in this position?
I guess you can say that. I mean, it definitely took a lot of hard work, and you know, I'm just happy I was able to persevere, and you know, now we're here. Only way is to go up.
How much more are you doing now in practice compared to the beginning of it as it kind of comes along for you?
It's basically the same little routine we got, but I think just getting more comfortable. You know, it's a mental thing. You know, I just gotta just trust myself, and you know, when that comes, that just takes time. And you know, I feel like as we keep getting deeper and deeper in camp, I'll obviously do more reps to get ready for the game. But right now, I'm just worried about staying as fresh as I can, and you know, just trying to manage my load as much as I can.
How hard is that mentally? Like, are you thinking about the knee while you're trying to be out there making plays? Or is it...
No, I think it's definitely getting better. When I'm out there, man, I'm just rolling. I'm not really thinking about anything too much. But it's definitely a challenge. But it's something that, you know, I kind of push to the side a little bit and, you know, just focus on what I can. And that's what I'm doing.
You played for Coach Saban, and you used to always say, I'll name a starting quarterback when somebody wins over the team. Mm-hmm. Has Todd done that as far as for defensive perspective? And if so, how?
I think Ty really stayed down. And, you know, that just means so much to us as a team, just to know a guy like that, that just cares so much about this place, about his teammates. It just makes you feel good. So I mean, Tyler's already my guy, to be honest. I mean, man, just seeing him coming to work every day, he's getting way more comfortable in his leadership and, you know, being able to manage the team and, you know, win over the team, like you said. And, man, it's just a pleasure to see, just knowing he just waited his turn. And I would just love to see that he's so resilient. I can't wait to see him shine.
What has Nakai brought to the sideline?
Man, Nakai is a veteran guy, you know. We call him Unk a little bit. I get called Unk too, but yeah, he just, man, he's physical. He can get downhill. He just add an extra element of, you know, run stopping, being a quarterback of the defense. He can just do it all. And, you know, the good thing I like about Nakai is he doesn't care about anything else. He just want to do whatever to help this team win. And, I mean, that's all you can ask for. And, you know, I'm just excited for him.
Kelce, heading into, I guess, year five, have you been able to, I don't know, take a step back and kind of look back at what this kind of path from Mobile, Alabama to, I guess, 5 years into this, like, have you been able to think about that at all, or what has that looked like kind of in general?
Yeah, I feel like, actually during my surgery, during my recovery process, it just made me think about a lot of things and just really reflect on, you know, just how blessed I am just to wake up and be able to do this. So, man, I just, when I come here, I just try to be the same guy every day. You know, I just try to have high energy, just impact my teammates and, you know, try to inspire as best as I can. And, you know, that's really all I'm thinking about. I'm just trying to, you know, be the best teammate I can be. And, you know, that comes from my past experiences. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job of that.
Is that something that you kind of learned how to do in terms of affect other people and be that positive, or is that something that you've always had carried?
I feel like it's something I always carried, but I think it just took a little time to come out, you know. And I really think just going through my injury, man, it just made me realize that, like, you really got one shot at this, to be honest. And, you know, you just got to take every day one day at a time, and no matter what's going on, how you feel, you just got to, you know, be a vessel for the next person beside you, and that's just what I'm trying to do, and that's basically my main goal for this year.
Deontay, about midway through fall camp now, how would you evaluate the three freshman inside linebackers, Duke, Luke, and Abdul?
Yeah, and those guys, it's great to be around those guys every day. You know, they're coming in, learning everything they can. Obviously, being a freshman, you're going to have mistakes or anything. But, you know, the biggest thing I just try to tell them is just go full speed, like, no matter what. Because what you tend to do, like, tense up, and you don't want to mess up, so you just start playing slow. And that's not what got you here. So, you know, coach will fix all the scheme things. Just go around, run and hit. That's what we always say. And, you know, I definitely see a lot of improvement from those guys, but, you know, obviously they still got a long way to go.
What kind of growth have you seen from Caden and QB going into their second year?
Man, those two guys are coming to work every day, no doubt. QB is, I think QB has the highest, like, we got a player load per minute thing. He has the highest out of the linebackers, so that means he's working the hardest, to be honest. And man, it's just crazy to see, just from last spring to this fall camp, just seeing them grow and, you know, understand the scheme more, so they're able to, you know, quarterback the defense of their own. And I don't know, it's just great to see that. You know, they got a lot of pressure on their hands, because, you know, I'm sure they have conversations or in their mind about next year or anything like that. So they know they have to get ready for that. And, you know, I'm just excited for them.
So you played both ways in high school, right? Mm-hmm. What positions did you, like, both on offense and defense?
Yeah, I played a little, like, Y or a tight end, yeah. Kind of. I played a little quarterback and Wildcat. Yeah. And, you know, defense, I was in the middle. So
when you think about a guy, because Duke had a lot of responsibilities, like, out in Georgia, you know, playing both sides of the ball, multiple places on defense. Like, what does it look like for him to kind of hone in his focus on being solely middle linebacker?
Man, I think that's something he's still trying to learn. You know, seeing what it takes to actually be a SEC linebacker. You know, this is not high school, and you know, everyone's faster, and you know, this is real football. So you can't just run around. Like, you gotta do your job first and then go make the play. But yeah, that's just something he's still learning. He's taking everything he can from myself, Justin, and Nakai, and you know, I think he'll grow from it and he'll be better because of it.
Tim Keenan was just saying that the two biggest hits in camp he's seen so far, one by Dejon Lee and one by Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't remember who took it. Do you remember who was on the receiving end of those hits? Or do you not even remember them at all?
Nah. Well, Justin's hit was actually yesterday. So that was Richard Young.
Okay.
And I don't know who Dejon hit. It was in the scrimmage, though. I know what you're talking about.
Who's got the biggest hit you've seen so far?
Justin Jefferson. That hit yesterday was pretty crazy, yeah. No doubt.
Can you walk us through what you saw on that hit?
Well, it was in the goal line, and, you know, they ran, like, a G-League play, and Justin just shot the A-gap, and you heard it. You heard it.
When you see a running back coming through the gap, who's the hardest guy to bring in? Who's the guy you know you got to bring in?
I 2-6 Jam Miller, of course. He low to the ground, low center of gravity, so you got to bring for him. And obviously Danny Hill, he about 240, solid muscle, and you know, he packs a punch too. But all the running backs, man, they come with it for sure, and you know, I'm just excited for them. I'm ready to see them run the ball 20, 30 times a game if they can. So,
Saban Brown just described going against Alabama's offense as a chess match. Can you just talk about the challenge that's been for you as a linebacker in the middle? You know, seeing how the play is going through, seeing the ball come out of Todd Simpson's hand, just the challenge.
Man, it's definitely a challenge because our offense has given us a variation of everything, you know, everything that we could see. And it's just, I don't know, and it's hard because we can't, like, really scout against them. So, you know, they're installing new things every day. But, you know, it's obviously a challenge, and, you know, we're all for it. And, you know, it'll help us down the road, no doubt.
All right, thanks, Dejon.
Hey.
So there you go. That was the signal caller of the defense, Deontay Lawson. He spoke to the media yesterday post-practice, but a number of good things from that. Real quick, I will throw this out there. I forgot who called and they asked about, you know, the hardest hitter, if we have any dogs like that on this defense. Who was my answer, Chase? I said Justin Jefferson would probably be the guy that I would, you know, put money on to being that guy. And sure enough, we just heard from Deontay Lawson that yesterday. He literally about decapitated somebody in the little goal line situation. But I'm telling you, man, Justin Jefferson, he's like a missile. And he's just fast. He's kind of like he was describing Jam being a little more compact because he's not as tall. That dude, man, he packs a punch. But anyway, I thought that was really good stuff hearing from him. We'll talk a little bit about what we heard from him. We'll break it down, plus get to a number of things when we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
The lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by...
To Fresh. Like that. Now all you have to worry about is Pam cheating at charades.
Breathe happy, so breathe. La, 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 la.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation
of legends. We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard, aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy at times this afternoon, scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms around through early tonight. The high today 86, the low tonight 73. For tomorrow, partially sunny, scattered showers and storms developing by afternoon, the high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, so we just got done listening to Deontay Lawson, and always nice to hear from him, but obviously got an update on how he's feeling coming back from that knee injury. Biggest thing, man, is getting over that mental barrier, which, you know, is very common, you know, coming off injury like that, man. You got to be able to trust your body, trust that you can go out there and perform at the same level that you did prior. And yeah, and he's, and like he said, I mean, I think they initially thought they were going to be trying to limit some stuff, but I think he's really just been doing really just about everything, which is good news. So sounds like he's on pace to be back, ready to roll very early, like at a high level. I mean, I think the whole thing has been he's going to be cleared. But when I say really ready to roll, I mean, there's a difference between being cleared and really being back at that point. And I think he's probably ahead of schedule, but really good to hear from him, talk about some of the other guys as well. But if you're tuning into the YouTube stream, you're seeing what we're looking at right now. You got Bryce Young and Will Anderson, then Mechie even making an appearance. But the Texans and the Panthers are holding a joint practice ahead of their game, which I believe is down in Houston. But just, you guys can see, man, Bryce and Will embracing, man, really excited to see each other. But just pretty cool, man, seeing those two guys getting to hang out as they practice against each other. Obviously, Will can't touch Bryce in practice, but it's going to be interesting in this preseason game, man. Will going after Bryce, man. So make sure you guys tune into that. That'll be fun to watch if you guys are an Alabama fan. Let's do this. I know we didn't hear from Tim Keenan just yet, but maybe we could take a break from the player interviews, unless you guys want to keep on rolling with that. We can do that. Or there was, again, a little bit of NFL talk, though. I don't know, Chase, because we're rolling with college stuff, and I already know how this goes, man. We start getting off the college bridge for a second and go to the NFL, and I know how that goes. But what it was, though, was, and I don't know if you had seen this, Chase, but it caught my attention because going back to the whole Jalen Hurts-type conversation, but it was Peyton Manning, and he was talking about Jalen Hurts. And it was interesting because he basically was saying that he talks to Jalen Hurts and, you know, actually pretty commonly, like Jalen reaches out to him, which that doesn't shock me. Jalen's one of those guys. He's always going to be trying to, you know, get as much knowledge as he can. But Peyton was really impressed. Matter of fact, I got it pulled up right here. This is the clip that I was talking about, but it's Peyton Manning discussing Jalen Hurts.
All about his mental toughness, right? Because that's the kind of situation where it's embarrassing and you just don't sort of recover from it mentally or emotionally. So it tells you how mentally tough he is. And they said, you know, he was the first guy to high five Tua in the locker room and, you know, was as celebratory after that win as, you know, all the players that were, you know, involved in the game. And you're right. I mean, he's played so well in both those Super Bowls, but I like the way he goes about it. He calls me a lot. And asks me lots of questions. They actually run a lot of plays that we used to run, Sirianni to Frank Wright to Tom Moore, sort of that chain. And he calls me with very specific questions about certain plays. So he's a student of the game. You know, as another example, you think, I mean, he squats 600 pounds. He can, you know, run over guys. He can throw it a mile. But his appreciation of the cerebral part of the game is what's impressive to me and how he's taking his game to the next level. And I think the sky's the limit for this guy.
Have you ever met a more intense, serious human being than Jalen?
No.
It's almost intimidating when you're in the
So that was Peyton Manning discussing him. But, Chase, I thought it was interesting when I heard that because I was kind of like trying to connect the dots. I'm like, where did he meet Peyton Manning? Obviously, I mean, NFL quarterback, top NFL quarterback, right? I mean, he's going to cross paths with him. But, like, that kind of surprised you hearing that Jalen Hurts constantly is, like, reaching out to Peyton Manning and they're discussing. I mean, it's one thing, like, reaching out to him, just kind of, like, checking in. But he's making it seem like they talk about plays. And Peyton even mentioned, like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, carryover and connections from, you know, coaches that they've worked together with. But that kind of catch you off guard a little bit, too, when you heard that? Because it did for me. I just didn't expect it. I didn't know Jalen and Peyton Manning were close like that. I'd never heard anything of it.
Yeah, that was not my bingo card this year, to be honest with you. But it just shows how much Jalen cares about football and just wanting to be better. You know, you go to probably one of the most intricate, like, craziest minds of football in Peyton Manning. Like, he's able to dissect a play like that. And I think there's a segment on one of the other networks with his brother, I think on Monday Night Football, that he does.
Oh, yeah, the two of them.
Yeah, and it's just crazy how he's able to really look at a play and show you different, like, outcomes of this happened, that happening. And why not go to the best minds of it all, you know? And that's awesome that Jalen is continuing to work on just that part of the game because he has the physical attributes. He's fast. You know, we've seen that last year, you know, hence why they won the Super Bowl. But why not take it a step further and get better? And that's awesome that him and Peyton are like that, but it was definitely not my bingo card that they talk regularly, you know?
Yeah. No, that's kind of what I was thinking. He was like, hey, he reached out to me all the time. Like, hell, I would too. I mean, that would be like me having, I don't know, who would be an edge guy that, man, I mean, there's so many different ones you could go off. I'm trying to think of one that was like out of the league, but man, I don't even know. I don't know. Just throw somebody out there like Jason Taylor or DeMarcus Ware. I would be in those guys' heads all the time trying to get their thoughts on that. But doesn't surprise me the fact that Jalen, you know, is taking that initiative. I mean, that's Jalen Hurts for you. Then even him kind of paying it forward. I don't know if you heard the other part of it, but Shedeur Sanders going and, you know, talking with him, reaching out to him. Jalen's almost getting to that unk level in the NFL. That's what I was saying earlier about it. It's just crazy that, like, you see, like, a lot of the guys I even play with would have been like, they're going on like year 7, year 8, which I'm just like, how has time flown like that? But speaking of other, real quick, I want to ask you a quick question based off of what you said. You mentioned their cast that the Manning brothers do. Do you like, now I know you just said you like that, but, you know, it made me think, a lot of people, they criticize, like, Tony Romo, because you're talking about knowing the game and knowing what's going to happen. A lot of people used to complain about that. Do people still not like that? Like, you know, calling out the stuff before it happens? I'll be honest. I always thought it was kind of like entertaining or like impressive that I'm like, man, he's over here circling. He's over here circling the fade right here. Then sure enough, they throw a fade, right? Or he's over here circling this corner. Like, oh, yeah, they're about to attack this corner right here because they're showing this. And even like somebody like me, like I know the game, but I know, you know, definitely more, you know, defensive perspective side of things. It's my deal, but I was blown away because I'm like, damn, man, like, this is so impressive. Did you find that annoying, Chase, or do you not mind that?
I honestly don't mind it for someone that watches football and used the usual commentary, it's nice to have an insight of, like, you know, what Patrick Mahomes might throw to. Or, you know, why is Tyreek Hill motioning to the left side of the field when he got a signal from Patrick Mahomes? Like, stuff like that is intriguing to me because, you know, as NFL fans or even college football, you know, we want to learn more about the game. Like, yeah, it's cool to see touchdowns and kick returns and rah, rah, rah. But to know the ins and outs of why players make a certain move or where this ball is going to go to, I think that's pretty cool. Now, I don't know why Tony got that flack, because I felt like it made that specific network better, especially with Jim Nance and how they were like a 1-2 combo. But, you know, I feel like it was very unwarranted that he got that, because it added a different element to watching football. You know, like, I was able to, sometimes I would even take notes on, like, smart, that, like, man. Seriously.
Smart. Yeah. No, I mean, it's smart. I look, I could understand if I think it's about, like, how you do it. Like, if it's almost like he sounds like a know-it-all, you know what I mean? And it's almost like he's just doing it because he's, like, trying to sound like the smartest guy in the room. I can see how people be like, oh, that's annoying. But to me, when he was doing it, it was more educational, or it was really just like, all right, you know, watch for this. They're probably really just trying to inform the viewers, because, again, like, that's his job. He's a color analyst. He's breaking it down, you know, specifically the X's and O's of it. And literally, to me, I'm like, man, I like that kind of stuff. But I was just curious when you brought up their cast, because I like their cast. I know Pat McAfee used to do, like, the college football one. Some people like that. But to me, like, that's starting to get kind of out. I don't know if I would say outplayed, but, like, even, like, with him in, like, WWE, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't always the most informative. It's almost, like, silly, kind of just being funny. And I know some people, even I think, who was, like, Fox or whoever, the other station or whatever that does, like, the pregame. So they added, like, Dave Portnoy to their show. And I'm like, man, I like having the informative people. And I do like having a, like, Mark Ingram. Like, I like how he does his work, because not only is he informative and he's got all the experience to back it up, but he also does a nice job of just being his authentic self, and he's funny. He's a good character. I like that. I think it's a good balance. But anyway, I don't want to go too far down. I just was curious about the whole commentator stuff, because we were talking about the Manning brothers. Theirs is good because they're the same way. Super informative, but, like, Peyton and Eli together, like, they're actually pretty funny. And so I really enjoy them as well. Real quick before we hit this next timeout, speaking of former Alabama guys, we were talking about Jalen Hurts. Well, here's his teammate. Now, I saw this on Twitter. I don't know how true this is or how accurate this is, but allegedly, Landon Dickerson, who just had surgery, I believe, he's out here at this Browns joint practice, and they claim that he just passed out Miller Lights or some type of beer to some of his buddies on the Browns, offensive lineman from the Browns, and one of his teammates, Lane Johnson, fresh off the practice field. Now, knowing Landon, the same guy that came, wait, you guys, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if there's a picture of this. And this is a true story. Landon Dickerson showed up to, I don't know if it was pro day or it was like, it was around pro day time. Like, he was like me, like, there was literally like NFL personnel and scouts in the building. I think it was pro day though. He showed up with overalls, no undershirt, and no shoes, and just showed up in the weight room like that and was working out like that. And these scouts and everybody just like they were cutting up laughing, but they really were like, what in the world? Like, this guy is nuts. But actually, it was kind of impressive because he was getting a full workout in like it was nothing. But the dude literally, and he had like one, make it even worse, he had like one of the straps. Only one strap strapped. And I'm talking about no shirt, no shoes. And it was the craziest thing I probably ever saw. But that being said, I would not be shocked if these are real beers. I'm just trying to figure out, like, does the league allow that? Like, knowing the league, Chase, I can just imagine them just throwing a fit over this. But if those are, in fact, beers, that's just hilarious. I mean, like, fresh off of a surgery, his mission is to show up and bring a cooler to crack some cold ones with not only his teammate, but also some linemen from the Browns. Landon Dickerson for you, ladies and gentlemen. Just reminds me, we've had so many characters that upload, from Tony Brown to Landon Dickerson wearing overalls with no clothes, or excuse me, no shirt underneath. Yeah, We've had our fair share of characters. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. Right here on the Miller's Edge, tied on a .9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store.
Every day is a place that you can hang out, eat, or let the kids play in the wall ball area. We're the only place your party size doesn't matter. Focused on family, come visit one of the five restaurants at the Venue Tuscaloosa.
365, 24-7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's Move Over Law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. 205-342-9904 is the number to the show. If you guys want to get in, we are open on the phone lines. But picking up where we just left off, talking about some former guys, right, NFL guys. Matter of fact, some guys that are also in the mix. Just happen to be talking about Eagles and Browns, right? On to the next former Alabama guy, but with the Browns, Tony Brown. So I was just explaining a second ago, we were talking about Tony Brown. and he came up on this interview, and I think he's actually explaining the whole deal with, you know, he's now carries his staff, I believe is what you referred to it as. And he also has like the, I don't want to disrespect it, but like the necklace piece, like I don't know exact names for everything. But anyway, I think he goes and explains it on this interview. But I was telling our chat here on YouTube and Facebook that, man, Tony's a dog, man. The competitor he was, his whole thing was getting, you know, the head of the receivers. And I'm talking about, like, you would hear him. Like, we, you know, we had different practice fields would be split up, but you always would just hear Tony. Like, I mean, this dude would be, like, from the start of practice to the end, shouting, talking trash, getting in guys' heads. And he used to drive Coach Saban nuts, and his seat was right next to him. But because the layout was, we sat in the team rooms, we sat next to, like, our positions, our position group. So if you were looking at the seats, Coach Saban was in the middle, and the DBs were around him. Far left, you had the offensive line. Far right, you had the quarterbacks. Above the quarterbacks, like on the next few rows, was the wide receivers. Going back to the middle, you had outside linebackers and inside linebackers. And then to the far left, I think that still was, I guess that really was probably all offensive line. I think maybe tight ends might have been over there. And then above us would have been the defensive line. I think that's, man, that's everybody, right? Secondary, linebacker, defensive line, offensive line, tight ends, and then quarterback. Oh, running backs. Running backs. Oh, man, hold on. Where were the running backs at? Running backs were, I think, near the quarterbacks and the receivers. Maybe in between. Man, now I'm drawing a blank. Now I'm forgetting where the running backs were. Anyway, you guys get the point. But anyway, Tony was literally, he sat right next to Coach Saban. And there's a couple of times Coach Saban literally would just go off on Tony because he just, Coach Saban had this love-hate relationship with Tony, man. He loves the guy. Don't get me wrong. But, like, Tony used to just drive him nuts sometimes with the trash talk, the way he did things sometimes. Coach Saban would just jump Tony, but he also really loved him. It was just funny. But anyway, this interview came up, and I think it's interesting. Tony's explaining kind of his stuff. If you guys have been seeing him carry the staff around. So this is him talking about it, I believe, on like NFL Network.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see y'all back out there doing another entrance. And speaking of that, I kept getting texts on game day about that. It's like, who is this guy? Who is holding the stick or the whatever they called it? You called it a bamboo scepter. Can you tell us the origin story of how this came about?
Okay, so the story of the scepter begins with an invite to Ghana for my teammate Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah's camp that he has yearly in Ghana. As we went there, it's not just a football camp. And shout out to Jeremiah, very honorable man, one of the most honorable men that I've ever met, sportsmen and men in general off the field. He took us, we traversed through Ghana, traveled, visited the king in the western region where this picture was taken, and visited the Cape Coast, a very historically relevant dungeon as it relates to the transatlantic slave trade. So as I'm going through this tour in this dungeon castle, learning about how the slaves were held, learning about the death dungeon, he explained to me, hey, Tony, you can try to calm your emotions by speaking with the ancestors, like trying to have a conversation with them as we're walking through this dungeon and castle. He picked up some rocks and dust off the ground and put it in my hand. It's a bit of a culture shock, being that I'm from Texas. And as we traversed the last 30 minutes of the tour, I ended up just saying these words in dialogue. If you're there, ancestors, I would ask that you grant me the wisdom, the guidance, and the strength in order to transmute this anger, which is just an energy that I felt in my chest, into something that I could use to be functional, that I can make you proud. So I asked for wisdom, guidance, and strength. So as we left out of the dungeon castle, it is along the shores of the Cape Coast. I walked out into the water to kind of clear my mind. As I walked into the water, the shores of the water, the staff, scepter, it washed the shore to my feet. And initially when I picked it up, it hit my ankles. I picked it up. I was like, yo, I looked at it. You know, I'm looking at it. I'm like, yo, this is a pretty cool thing to just wash up to my feet. And Jeremiah was maybe 10, 15 feet behind me, and Sekou was also. So they also visually saw this happen. And I turn around like I just caught a fish, you know, like a little fish. And they look at me like in awe a little bit. And as I walk towards Sekou and Jeremiah, and we're also traveling with chieftains and chiefs with us from Ghanaian chiefs, they all impart the wisdom on what this means in their tribe. And every person that imparted the wisdom kind of like helped me understand the meaning behind attaining this in the way that I did.
Well, Tony, first of all, thank you for that powerful description. I can feel your emotion. And as you go through the rest of the preseason and the season, will this continue to be a ritual for you?
Correct. I carry this with pride and with honor as it connects me to something greater than myself. I continue to walk with this to empower others and to, I want people to rise right with me. That's what this term Apex is for, at the top. So like, I definitely will continue to empower others with my word and, you know, help people shine light by being my authentic self by carrying the staff. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Well, we will know next time we see you that is a bamboo scepter that has much more power than any of us could ever imagine. Great preseason debut for you, a few tackles and a pass breakup, and eager to see you throughout the rest of this season, Tony.
Bless. Thank you.
So there you go. So now we have the origin story of Tony's scepter slash staff. He used both words, so I don't think I'm being disrespectful if I say staff. I just immediately think of staff, but Chase, pretty interesting story. Now I knew he was out in Africa because he was. I don't know if you guys have heard. Tony also makes music, man. He raps, and anyway, he had been posting like some music videos out there, but I had no idea about the whole speaking to the ancestors, and then the staff washed us. So it sounds like the staff washed up on shore to his feet, which is kind of crazy. Kind of interesting story, right, Chase?
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by this.
It sounds like a book or something. Like, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm like, out of all people, I'm like, that would, like, Tony would stumble across that. He'd be doing a football camp in Africa, then all of it's like, he just has this insane experience, and now it's made its way back here. But I mean, you got to respect the commitment. I mean, like, literally, you saw him walking with it on the field, walking with it into my biggest question, I think, would be, how does he get that through airport security? Now, I know, obviously, when you travel with a team, it's way different. It's not like you're really going through regular TSA. As a matter of fact, we don't really get checked like that, if you guys were ever wondering. They always had, like, a pre-list of, they would randomly select, like, a handful of guys that would have to get checked. Everybody else, we would just show our ID and get straight on the plane. Like, we didn't really go. I mean, technically, I think there's a metal detector, but, like, it wasn't, like, they didn't do all that. But when he's not traveling with the team, like, how does that work? I mean, I'm sure it's probably if you have a guitar or something like that, but I know they're probably just kind of curious. I don't know. It's kind of interesting, but allegedly it doesn't bother him at all. So, all right, well, there you go. I just thought that was cool. You guys would enjoy that. Everybody loves Crazy Tony. So there you go. Now you have the origin story of his new staff that he carries and some of the other pieces that he's been rocking recently. We got to hit one last time. And we come back, we wrap things up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Last time out. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, we're going to preview Alabama's second scrimmage with Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. We're going to talk with NFL veteran quarterback Hugh Millen on Ryan Grubb's offense. What to expect from this offensive performance in Tuscaloosa? We'll break down quarterbacks and we'll talk Ty Simpson as well. We'll talk to Dalton Wasserman, ProFootballFocus.com. They've got the University of Alabama number 4. We'll let him explain why, starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9. 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Shop Kohl's back to school sale and bring on the new year. Select styles, prices good through August 17th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by
his phone and that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the road.
Research saves lives.
So please help us fight in this battle against cancer.
Be a part of the team that ends cancer at standuptocancer.org.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. Dad education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy at times this afternoon, scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms around through early tonight. The high today, 86, the low tonight, 73. For tomorrow, partially sunny, scattered showers and storms developing by afternoon, the high 89. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 90 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Just heard from Crazy Tony talking about his new staff. That was really cool origin story. We got to hear from him. Real quick, just a reminder, Fridays, 1225, be there. That's where we'll be at, doing the show live. Make sure you guys come get game day weekend started the right way. Again, great food, great drinks. Tipsy Elephant is the popular one that everybody loves, is famous. They're at 1225. But make sure you guys go check 1225 out, as well as us on Fridays of home game weekends. Again, we will be doing that every Friday, home game weekends. You'll find us there doing the show live. You guys can come hang out with us. And they've got all types of food, pizza, wings, Rotel dip. They've got tacos. I mean, anything you can think of, they've got it. So make sure that you come check us out at 1225s and check them out anytime you want to go watch a football game. They got always great watch parties and stuff going on as well. Again, that is 1225. 1225 University Boulevard is where you can find them, right there on the strip. All right. We only got like 2 or 3 minutes left. So I was going to try to find a piece of this Tim Keenan interview that we could have just listened to. But honestly, I don't even think we have enough time. We can just save it and get to it another time. But Chase, I was thinking something. I saw something come up with Tim Keenan. Sorry, as my dog, I guess, is eager for something. But I saw this clip real quick, and somebody was, I keep seeing it. After that picture of Jam Miller, everybody is talking about him again. And I'm just trying to figure out, Chase, when did everything flip? Was it the picture that made it happen? I've been big on Jam. I've been talking about, I'm excited for him, thinking he's going to have a great year. He's already shown plenty during his time here. But it felt like people just were slowly kind of just, I don't know, like maybe it's just looking for the next shiny toy. Everybody talking about everybody other than him. And it just seemed like people were kind of like forgetting, like, this guy is a really good football player. But now, I don't know if it's from the picture, you know, hearing Deontay Lawson talk about him. But now everybody's jumping back on the Jam bandwagon, and they're putting a whole bunch of stock into him. But I remember when people were kind of forgetting about him a little bit. Even QD talking about, I don't know about who we got. Look, man, Jam is that dude, man. You keep hearing his teammates rave about him, coaches rave about him. There's a reason, man. He's a special dude. But anyway, I'm excited for him. I'm seeing some clips of him right now. But we also did hear Daniel Hill's name pop up when Deontay Lawson was talking. So two guys we've been talking about here. I think those are two guys you'll see a good bit from and other guys as well. But looking forward to seeing what that running back room can do. All right. That being said, we got to go ahead and start winding down, getting out of here, making room for T-Town Sports Daily, which is coming up next. Appreciate everybody and all the contributions, phone calls, all the messages here on the YouTube chat. All you listeners, all of our Facebook listeners, everybody, always appreciate you across all platforms for all the support, man. Definitely means a lot, and we definitely appreciate all of it. Looking forward to doing this again in 22 hours right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Again, we are presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. We will see you guys tomorrow on a free-for-all Friday.